My name is Jerrica Lala, and this is my beloved co-host, Captain Nancy. We are Podcast Sheroes, mixing all the colors of the spectrum into a nice, warm brown. Only a few others know this podcast. Donna, Kirsty, Brenda, Joanne, Debbie, Betty, River, Midge, and now you, dear listener. Together, we will join forces to spill tea and fight the patriarchy. Fabulous pop culture secrets were revealed to us the day we opened our mics and said, "This time on the Popular Parallax." Oh, hi, everybody. Guess what? It's season three!
Season three! Woo!
We made it.
We're back and scarier than ever.
Happy Halloweener, everybody! Ooh. It is October.
It's not even me. It's just the poltergeist that lives in Jerrica's apartment.
My apartment is haunted by regrets. Do you have... We did a Halloweener last year with gay vampires.
Yeah, making me gay, honey.
Yes, making me
still lusting after Tom Cruise.
Yeah, except when I saw Mission Impossible where I was like, hey now, pillow face.
Pillow face.
Just...
Hey, geriatric, you're getting a little old.
Yeah, and he wants to die. I mean, if you watch that movie, he's just like,
just
could I die?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What if we did stunts with no wires? Would that kill me finally?
It would make it so realistic, you guys. Everything, like all the shit they say for that movie is such bollocks. They're like, the audience can tell when you're not jumping out of a plane. And I'm like, Tom, I can tell the story is stupid, so I don't mind if a 60-year-old doesn't leap out of a plane from space. And he's like, no, I have to.
No, I've got a death wish here.
Thanks, Scientology, for those dollars.
Nothing behind the eyes
anymore. That was like a spooky story for me, was watching that movie. Do you have a spooky story that happened to you personally, past, present, or future?
And it's Halloween related. Probably not spooky in the way that traditional spook is qualified, so we'll call it the story of the bad friend. Spoiler alert, it's me.
Ooh.
So I was in high school, I was in grade 10. There's this haunted house in the township that I'm from called Project X, and it's like at this ski resort, and they set up this massive haunted house, and you go and you pay a stupid amount of money and you walk through and you pay people to scare the living shit out of you. After junior high, just going into high school, so it was like I had some old friends from junior high and some new friends from high school, and like neither group of friends were great, and I thought, what's a better idea
than just to good people
mix them all together? Plus, a lot of Malibu rum and R&R whiskey.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So we bought, because we're like 15 and
idiots,
stupid as hell.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we'll probably need like 6 2-6s for all of us. We drank all of them in the matter of 10 minutes, because when you're in high school and getting drunk, like, there's no time. You have no time to waste. You want to be drunk now. So you just drink all the booze.
Yeah, and you're really hardened to the alcohol.
Oh, for
so
sure.
It really takes a lot to get you.
Yeah. We're old.
Like
we're
a
weathered
toilet flush.
Yeah, our tolerance is real high, you know. So cut to 5 minutes after we stop drinking, and we can barely walk up a hill at all straight. And my friend says he needs to go to the washroom. So we're like, okay, well, I'll like accompany him to the washroom. He went to the washroom. Three of us got distracted by these lockers that this one girl, whose name was Tempest, she was like, she got into them and she's like, I can't get out. My boobs are too big. So then I was like trying to yank her out of the lockers. And then all of a sudden everything went black and we couldn't realize what happened. And then it turns out the lockers fell on us. We fully blacked out.
I'm sorry.
with this like beam of light coming from nowhere. And this all was pieced together the next day by like all six of us who were trying to be like, what the fuck happened? So then we finally got out of these lockers that were all like, it's a ski resort. There's tons of lockers. They've all fallen over.
Oh, that's where I was like, where do these lockers come from?
Massive, like,
and
10
so this
lockers.
Girl tried to get into one.
She
and
was
couldn't
in it
get out.
And couldn't get out. So I was like yanking her out. And
her
she
said it was
were, like,
her tits, but she's probably just a little chubby.
No. It was fully her tits. It was, it, like, I, because I, yeah, anyway. So
this sounds like Porky's.
What's that?
It's a movie is about it? Disgusting teenagers.
That sounds like us. Yeah. So then we were like, oh, we should go check on our friend in the bathroom. Full alcohol poisoning, obviously. Someone told security. They came in. We all decided that it would be in our best interests to pretend like we didn't know him.
Yeah.
We don't know her. She's not with us. Took him off to the hospital. We then went through the fucking haunted house. Because, you know, what else are you going to do when you've paid $25?
Oh, my God.
To go through. And, got a real, real angry phone call from his parents later that night. And then I woke up the next day and there was blood just, like, caked all down the side of my head.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised there wasn't actually further injury, but it was probably you were so wasted.
Couldn't feel it.
Yeah, and you were so relaxed. Like, because if you tensed when the things fell,
yeah,
you might have broken your
arm. I mean,
these
are, like, big metal lockers.
What is wrong with you?
Right?
Almost
<Ooh,
everything>.
Scary. He's so crazy. What's he going to do next? So it's, yeah, less spooky, more, still scary that we were such dirtbag teenagers.
Yeah, that's like, pretty rough.
And when I sobered up, I felt really bad about leaving my friend. I really did feel bad. We barely spoke
did
again
you,
after
though?
That. I did.
You
because,
did at the time? You felt bad? Or
oh,
later?
Not when I was drunk. The no. Malibu had me like riding high, baby. Feeling like a tropical princess.
Yeah.
But no, afterward, I felt really bad.
Did they have to like pump his stomach and
fully,
everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The, and he was 14. He didn't have any ID. So they like, that was the bad thing. Because what happened was his parents called me first. They're like, where's so-and-so?
Yeah.
And I was like,
you don't know.
He didn't make it home. I don't know. And then I sat down. My parents were like, okay, what really happened, though? What really happened, though? And then I finally cracked, and they were like, you need to call them back and tell them that their fucking son's in the hospital.
Yeah.
The look on Jerrica's face. I'll
like...
excuse myself now. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Jesus Christ.
I was 15. I'm still stupid, but I was even stupider then. I'm sweating.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the embarrassment, part of the humidity. It's
yeah.
just a little
it's,
bit everything.
It's us. We're doing this podcast in an actual sauna.
Yeah.
And I still have the fan on, so enjoy the sound of my fan. Because if I turn it off, we will die during this.
Nancy's just going to melt.
Nancy looks like he could die right now.
Yeah.
He's very moist.
Yes. Dewy, if you will.
Yeah, it's a dewy glow.
Thank you. That's kind.
Yeah, I have no... I can't even touch that.
Well, good. I mean,
no
one should.
I can't even touch
it. It's bad. It's really bad.
I was in university. So my first year at the university I went to, they made you share a room.
Yep.
And then the next years, you could get your own room. Like, I was in residence, right?
Right.
I was in the arts residence, which means there were a lot of nice kids. There were also some real weirdos in there.
Sure, yeah.
My roommate, she's a little tiny, elfy girl who was... did not have any shit together. She was like a mess, both physically, like her shit was always like her side of the room. It was a literal line that mine was like normal and hers was like full hoarders, like pile of shit. You know what I mean?
Having to live with that. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Thank God I made sure my side was like at the door. I would never be able to get out. Anyway, she started hooking up with this guy who was in fourth year. So gross. He was a quote director.
No.
But he was gross to like half the girls I knew. When I was leave or go home or whatever, they would totally fuck in our room. It was super gross,
nice,
right?
Nice.
Super gross. And I mean, everybody at college is having sex. I get that. But you don't understand this guy.
Sure,
just like,
sure.
One day, myself and a friend, we came back to the room. And it was this weird day. It was like the end of the year. Like a show presentation. Two exams. Like it was this day that was just never ending. We were exhausted. And this was like 2 hours between two exams kind of thing. We were like, okay, thank God. We came back. And we were both on my bed. Sort of one at each end of it, just curled up. And we were sort of talking, but sort of snoozing and stuff. The whole time, like, I'd unlock the door, come in. The whole time we'd been talking, he was under all her covers in her bed. Totally hoping we'd les out, I'm sure, right?
Oh my God.
He sits up, and I'm not a screamer. And I screamed like I never had. It was like it's Halloween. You know what I mean? It was like, here comes Freddy.
Did you know he was there?
No.
Oh,
because we'd
God.
Unlocked the door like there was no one there. And her side was such a pile of shit that her bed was always piled up, and he was under all of her shit.
Oh, that's so weird. Very like Sleeping with the Enemy college edition.
Yeah. What an asshole.
Oh my God.
And his show sucked. Just gonna drop that in there. Yeah. Bit. That was a good sport about it.
And now a word from our sponsors. Is there a Gen Xer in your life causing constant irritation?
Grunge!
Demanding almost all of your attention, but spitting out garbage in return?
And that's why you don't see Billy Zane in movies anymore. But you kids will never understand that. Oh my God, Nancy, are you on MySpace again?
Now you can X it out. A simple Bluetooth earpiece that snaps on whenever anyone over 35 starts speaking. Listen as I try it out right now.
And I don't care what anyone says, Tab was the superior diet drink.
Remember, for X relief, X it out. Available for the iPhone and Android.
What about pay-as-you-go? Nancy, do you know what I love?
Screaming.
And the 90s. Screaming in the 90s.
That's a great name for a song, Screaming in the 90s. It's like Drinking in L.A., Screaming in the 90s.
That's like every 90s song.
It's like every 90s movie. Yeah. It's
just like a child of the 90s.
Yes.
I'm a teen of the 90s.
I'm a 90s bitch.
Yeah, and we wanted to talk about a couple of iconic 90s horror movies.
Yeah, that not only are iconic to the 90s, but truly changed like the horror game.
Yes.
The film game, really.
Yeah.
So let's start with...
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Scream.
Sydney. What has she gotten herself into this
Little
time?
Little Miss Prescott.
Yeah.
Walking around town, daddy's
like,
away,
I'm
and
in
the creeps
high school,
will play.
There's no black kids anywhere.
Not
Let's do
to
it.
Be seen. It's a city of whites. It's just a city of whites.
We weren't as woke. I think by the time we got into sequels, there were a few black kids, but not in that classical first one.
Not
just
one to be seen.
Right down the line.
Yeah.
Directed by Wes Craven and written by Kevin Williamson.
Who went on to write quite a few great movies.
Yeah.
Starring all our favorite Neve Campbells. Where are you, girl? Where are you?
She's not very good.
Okay, well.
She's
what can I smash?
I actually, what's interesting about Scream is it has a colorful, excuse the pun, cast of,
of white people.
Sort of B level.
Sure.
Not Z level, B level actors who were a step up for this kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I still think for a lot of them, it's literally the best thing they've ever done.
Yes, I would definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes,
I would even, for me, go as far as to say, I think it's the best thing Barrymore ever did.
No.
I do.
Fully, fully disagree.
Okay.
Have you seen Great Gardens?
Yeah.
And you think she was better in that than Great Gardens?
I do.
Really?
Because it's something no one before or even after has seen her do, which is a primal thing that was so real. And I'm not trying to dismiss her other work,
sure,
but for something to leave such an indelible mark, I didn't really think beforehand that she was going to be much in the film. I was just like, oh, that's cute. It's Drew.
Yeah.
Her career was just coming back a little bit. She was sort of like, she showed up in the Batman, terrible Batman movie as one of Two-Face's girlfriends, but she sort of faded off a little bit.
Yeah.
And this rebooted her entire career with this psycho-esque, it's the lead actress, here we go, she's gone.
In the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. It's the only thing in the movie to me that is absolutely upsetting and terrifying with no irony.
Yeah.
And no, because then it gets into a little more like meta stuff, which is awesome. I like it.
There's
but
always
that
an edge
first scene
after that.
Is like wakey wakey.
Yeah.
Here comes a real horror movie. And it is. And it was my first experience of watching it. I was 18 and me and a bunch of high school kids went to see this movie.
Cool.
And it was real scary. And I mean, for us in Cambridge, Toronto and stuff, we'd just gotten over the Bernardo thing.
Oh my
so
God,
it really upset
right.
actually quite a few people. Yeah. Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially the female-based murdering.
Yeah, it's rapey,
very
murdery
creepy,
guys,
rapey.
Right?
Yeah.
And but, I mean, we were just like blown back and out because we were like, it's cool, it's a horror movie, blah.
Yeah.
And then you see that and you're like, holy fuck. Like, you're on the verge of tears by the time it's over.
It's really upsetting,
it's
that first scene.
It's so real, and it's very upsetting.
Yeah, because it's like, it's bad. And then the worst part is at the very end, the last shot of her.
How about trying
to
call to her mom?
Okay, that's real bad. But I found when she was hanging from the trees and her mom sees her, that was just like, oh. Yeah.
And I thought she may be the best of all of them because she got herself slimmed right down. She seems like a 15-year-old child.
Totally.
And she's not. She's 20. She's 20
oh, wow.
years
okay.
old
yeah,
in
yeah,
that
yeah.
movie. But she, it's that baby face. She's got this baby angel face.
The
and she
bob,
got her. She got her body real small.
Yeah.
So she looked like a kid. And it is gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And it sets the whole tone for the rest of it. Because then it's like, okay, now we've got your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go in. And then you also feel like no one is safe.
Truly. And that's why Drew Barrymore did it. She was originally offered Sydney, the lead role.
Yeah.
She was like, no, this Casey part's more interesting. And I think it's going to set up that anything can happen in this movie. Because she was on all the promo
the
material, all the advertising. When you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, she's one of the main characters. She's at the forefront. You think she's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
And she's almost instantly dead. And it's like, oh, we've still got the full movie to go.
Yeah. And what a great film in that it as the logo for the film is starting, you're hearing the phone ringing. Like, it's just boom, there's no fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
You're right into it, right off the top.
Yeah.
Now, what about getting into the rest of the movie?
Mm-hmm. Watching it in a 2018 context, it's the inciting incident is slut shaming. It's about Sydney's mom who was having an affair, was known for like sleeping around town. It did feel like a lot of.
Well, that was basing itself on a horror model too, though.
Yeah,
like how they say out loud, like, "Oh, you're not a virgin anymore. Now you gotta die."
And
like
when they get into the rules, which I think were really interesting. And so let's go over the rules really quick.
Okay.
First rule: you will not survive if you have sex. Number 2, you will not survive if you drink or do drugs. Number 3, you will not survive if you say, I'll be right back. And number 4, everyone is a suspect. Which, this movie plays into all of those perfectly. Like, the way that they cut between, Jamie Kennedy's character, while he's, like, explaining the rules. And then it cuts to Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich, and they're having sex.
Oh, it's on the nose. Like, it's almost, but I mean, if you keep in mind the movie is basically for teens.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think that's part of it, is they're going, it's the first thing I feel like that, without being a full slapstick kind of comedy, pulled out and went, this is what a horror movie is.
Right.
And all our characters are perfectly aware of what a horror movie is and what they have to try to do to get out of it, but they're still having trouble.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not surviving. The people who do survive through don't necessarily follow all the rules either.
No, because Neve Campbell says, when she's talking to the Ghostface killer on the phone the first time, she's like, oh, I don't really like horror movies. You know, you've always got this girl in her panties who's running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. Next thing that does, she gets attacked. She tries to run out the front door. She can't. She runs upstairs. And it's like, it's this crazy good like meta awareness of
it's
what horror movies were before, and it kind of just like takes those rules, flips them upside down, subverts everything that you expect from a horror movie.
Wes Craven really turning his own work upside down in a way.
Yeah,
and
really,
I mean, the fact that Drew Barrymore says right off the beginning, well, I like the first Nightmare on Elm Street, the rest sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's him, right?
Yeah.
And I think he has said he kept trying to get out of the horror genre because he didn't like how gross and misogynist it was.
Sure,
and I do think, even though with 2018 eyes you look at it, at the time it was taking steps away.
Yeah, sure.
The women do sort of take care of it at the end.
Yeah.
The women are the heroes in the way, even Gale though they're also
Sydney
the victims
saving
as
the
well.
Day.
Well,
yeah.
And even, I mean, she's got Rose McGowan's her friend, who's a little slutty, but she's not an idiot.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying. They're trying to break out of it. It's just not the break we'd expect today, but it's stepping that way.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, like, giving the women in horror movies more agency than just being the girl or the girlfriend or the slut or
they're
the virgin.
They're very smart.
Very smart, yeah. I find Rose McGowan's death very comical. And I think it works very well because it is this movie that like teeters on comedy and horror. It like swings both ways with the whole thing.
Yeah, it's definitely got a comic tragic element to it because you just want her to survive so bad.
She's
hanging
out the cat it's door. Awful. It's awful. Yeah, it's just.
And apparently they had to tone that scene way down too, because they kept trying. They wanted an R rating, not an NC-17, yes. And he kept trying to having to cut it every time they sent it in. They'd be like, nope, the blood can't show here. You can't do that until it was going to be like not very much. But they won some battles, but I think that was going to be a lot grosser than it was.
I'm fine with what it was.
Yeah,
it
I was okay. It's pretty it was awful. Pretty, yeah, pretty shit's bad. Electrocuted and shit. It's pretty gross.
Yeah,
poor old Rose. Yeah. And she tries like hell to get out of it too, and she can't. Now, how about Skeet and Matthew?
Both creeps. Big, full creeps. Full creeps.
I have to say, even as a kid, teen, watching this, Skeet freaked me out a little bit. You sort of had it in the back of your mind, and they really try to get you off the track with him. Like, he gets attacked and stuff.
Yeah.
But the phone thing... Which now I'm not sure people like at the time nobody had no kid had a phone.
No.
So when that dropped, I remember us going like that. Like, cell phone. But then it's always like, why is it so early in the movie and all this? And they get you so off of it. But that phone is really, really tells you at the beginning, and they just try to talk you out of it the whole time. But also, Skeet doesn't have a big range.
He's not a great actor.
No, he's
really
not. This is probably the best thing he's ever been in.
Yeah,
he's gotten a lot of gigs. Like, he's not out of work.
Yeah,
but there's TV stuff and which is fine.
Yeah,
he got cast because it's Nightmare on Elm Street, Johnny Depp. Although let me say, he cannot compare to Johnny Depp, who like Johnny Angel, who had an angel face like Drew Barrymore when he did Nightmare on Elm Street, and Skeet is already looks like a fucking heroin addict.
Yeah.
Level Johnny Depp, you know what I mean?
I think the telegraphing and the projecting they were trying to do of like, it was him, oh, it wasn't him, it was him, it wasn't him.
Big
it would have
time.
Worked a little better if he was a better actor, but it's a good enough movie that they pull it off.
Yeah. He always seemed a little threatening to me.
Yeah.
Even when he was trying not to be.
Yeah.
He couldn't get off that note. Lillard.
What a weirdo.
I love that guy.
He is a good actor.
He is a good actor.
Since, he's a good actor.
And he goes in at the end. Like, he goes in. He goes completely bananas. And you're just like, yipes. Because it's funny, but you're terrified.
Because he's bleeding out.
Yeah,
he's,
it's like a Jim Carrey level of ridiculousness. But he's like, I'm going all into this. And Ski can't match it.
No.
He can just be scary. And he is.
Yeah.
But this guy, and it again hits me as tragic, because obviously he's a sociopath, but he's also this kid who just was talked into whatever because he has no feelings, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody called Lillard and went, you know that goofy kid that you play all the time?
Yeah.
You're going to do that, but he's a full psychopath. And he went, what time?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Do I have to bring my own catering? Can I? Sign me up.
He was one of my favorite things when
He totally steals the last, 20 minutes of that movie entirely.
Yeah.
He is so brilliant when they're stabbing each other and trying
Jesus.
To...
fucking idiots.
I know.
Yeah, you're just... That's when it turns into, like... I like how it's sort of like the facade really starts falling away and you see these two, pathetic
just
teenage
really
boys.
Pathetic. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you're teenagers. You're full idiots. You're full dumbass boys who just don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Courtney Cox, probably the best thing she's ever done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Friends... Monica is like her
whatever but
no, Gail is like girl
I love the frosted lipstick with the lip liner above the lip line, and so those kind of details
so
are
perfect.
Fabulous.
The big like rounded hair that kind of flips out at the bottom,
the highlights,
the chunky highlights
so great,
all the mini skirts.
But she gets through that, like that stuff doesn't carry her, which is what I sort of was worried about.
No, she
really
rides above
through.
It. Yeah, yeah. I think of the females, she's definitely one of the strongest in the cast.
Yeah, and she had to ask for that part and fight for it because they didn't want Monica playing
this
reporter who is very aggressive.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she has this sort of weazened, very bony look that I do find aggressive.
Yes.
And she knew that. She knew she could do it.
Yeah.
And good for her for getting it.
And she brings enough heart to Gail that she's entirely, a full-rounded, likable person that am like super happy he's there. What about David Arquette? Every time I see him, I'm like, why are you at all famous? Like, why do people keep paying you to do this? Oh, spoiler alert, they don't. It's like, he's so bad. He is so bad. I can't stand him. I don't know why. He's always been someone that I've seen whenever I've seen him. He always just, he's got that slimy feel, like probably like your roommate's boyfriend, that same like kind of, I don't want to be in an elevator alone with him. I don't want to be cornered at him by like a party.
I don't think he's that. I mean, I think he's sort of just on a competent level in this, but I can definitely see almost anyone else playing it, if you know what I mean. Like, I think they wanted sort of a more hunky type, and he did win it over being this sort of soft, sort of dumb thing that he always does. And it's not bad in this, but the character doesn't really have anywhere to go. Like, even, and I'm thinking down this, like, I don't think I've even seen all the sequels, but the character never really changes that much. It's just this, he's almost a gimmick.
Yeah.
And that's not all his fault. It's this dumb character, but he doesn't have the skill to break out in any way from it.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of his whole thing.
Yeah. There's just this weird kind of bumbling.
Yeah.
It was written as like this real hunky guy, and then David came in. He's like, oh, I'm going to add some like comedic chops. And they're like, whoa. They all fucking lost their shit. I can't stand him, and I don't know why. You know who would have been great as Dewey? Swoozy Kurtz. I don't know why that just occurred to me. I was trying to think of, like, who else would be better? Like, oh gosh, she's been in everything. So, like, I think she was in Donnie Darko, and she was the... Your commitment to sparkle motion.
Yeah.
I think she'd just be really... She could do anything.
Oh, and you got Henry Winkler as this sick... Over principal.
Yeah. I totally forgot he was in that.
Yeah, a lot of teachers didn't love that either.
Oh, sure.
They were like, great. So, also, he's a nut job who's like threatening violence against these kids. What I like about the movie is that people watching it for the first time now get to see that we also were hated by adults in our generation. They're like,
cyclical.
Yeah. It's different issues.
Every time.
But it's always something, right? And he really hates these kids. And he has a pretty good death scene.
Yeah, most of the death scenes are great. Like, well-written, interesting, gross as hell. Jamie Kennedy is like the only of the boys that doesn't die, right?
Yeah, because he's a virgin.
That's great when he's watching Halloween and he's like, turn around, Jamie, around. And then the ghost face right behind him.
And the 30-second delay into the van is a wonderful.
Yeah.
There's so many interesting storylines and little hooks.
Just little devices, little things they throw in to keep the tension riding high during this ridiculous.
So obviously this is one of our favorites.
It's great.
I don't have too much. I mean, watching it now, I can see it's not perfect. It's got issues, but it created something we really hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Which is making something that's sort of a side wink and knowing itself without being too comedic or going too over the top. I think in the end, some problems come up because the more it turns into a straight, as the movie starts to slide into finish, it starts to just turn into a straight horror movie again.
Yeah.
And then it becomes less clever in a way.
Loses that irreverence a little bit.
But that's something I'm just seeing now when I watch it. To be fair, at the time, I loved it.
I was just so caught up in everything that I didn't notice that
these
at
are
all.
Things you see on repeat viewings.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, when I watched this for this show, I don't think I've seen it since I was about 20.
It's been a while, I haven't seen it
so
in a
while.
So
it was delightful to me. It made me feel like a kid again.
Yeah, it was really lovely to see.
I am so, so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. And I insisted. I insisted on everything. I insisted that we weren't lost. I insisted that we keep going. I insisted that we walk south. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up. And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry. And cold. and hunted.
The Blair Witch Project.
1999.
This movie is so good. Is so, so good. And it's not a great movie. It's not perfectly done. The acting's pretty bad.
It's a bag of improv.
Yeah, that's all it is. There's no written
dialogue.
Mixed with
weird circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will give them a break. Because the actors,
absolutely,
because they fucking improv that whole fucking thing.
It was a movie that was made
and
for like
crazy to me.
$2, so they of course they weren't going to go out and get like Jennifer Love Hewitt or whoever was the girl.
Well,
at the
time. I think they don't want movie stars.
Oh no, you're right. Why would you? Duh,
that
duh.
Are just kids because I remember the ads were missing posters for those kids.
Yes.
And they're using their real fucking names, which is crazy, too.
Heather, Josh, and Mike. It was a movie that I didn't see until university. So it came out in 99. I didn't see it until probably, like, 2008.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, like, 10 years later.
I also saw it at the theater.
Yeah, you
did. Because I'm older than time.
Okay, yep. So tell me about that. Tell me about...
It was scary.
Going in not knowing anything.
However, I would say 50% of the audience had no idea what they'd just seen and thought it was stupid because they were just like, nothing happened. And the rest of us were pooping in our pants because we were so scared.
Interesting.
Which shows me that about half the population doesn't listen when dialogue is happening. Because if you don't listen to the stuff at the beginning, it's kind of meaningless.
You know, I know the beginning says that the final shot, which is one of the most terrifying
things
I've ever seen on film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's similar reactions to other horror movies, like Hereditary, where 50% of the audience thinks it's boring, yet nothing happened. Again, same thing.
Yeah.
Just because it's not your conventional horror jump scare slasher kind of idea does not mean that it was not fucking terrifying. And the success of this movie, I think, proves that anything can be scary, including fucking camcorder shots. So seeing it,
and
seeing
those
all that
kids
shaky cam,
shot the fucking thing. How do they do this?
I know. So what they did, I read a lot about this, is they would hide these milk crates that the actors would have to find using GPS, and then in the milk crates there would be clues as to like where their next location is or where they have to go. So it obviously wasn't as big of a setting as, you know, the movie portrays oftentimes, like Civilization was just out of shot. But yeah, they were filming the whole time. The director and all the crew would stay behind them during the day and follow like at a very large distance. And then at night was when they would come and terrorize them and set things up and like set up things for the next day that they would discover.
Yeah.
Like the reaction...
It's almost social experiment in a way. It's
really,
very
though?
Weird.
Yeah. And then they would also ration the actors' food as the shoot went on. Like they'd give them less food every day. Josh wasn't supposed to disappear. In the script, it's Mike who disappears.
Oh, really?
But the actors playing Josh and Heather were fighting so much that they decided to switch that. And so without telling the other two actors, they just plucked Josh out of the movie, which I think is crazy. Like, think about that as an actor. That sounds like A, so much fun, and B, just so terrifying. Thank God it was only an 8-day shoot. I think if it was like
you'd start to flip out.
Yeah, you'd probably need some heavy therapy after that.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it the first time we went around to see it, though it did scare me like a lot.
Yeah.
I have to admit I found it an effort this time.
Did you?
I did. Love the setup. The shit at the beginning is amazing. Yeah. The townspeople, some of them are real, some of them are actors.
Yeah.
But when we get into the woods, some of it is trying to me. Like,
oh,
I don't
for
know how
sure.
many times I'd say, and I mean, it's not even a long movie.
No, it's,
but
like
it's
80 minutes.
Yeah, but it starts to feel that way somewhere in the middle. You're like, okay, something has to happen. And I mean, really, the scene where she finds the teeth or whatever, that kid, is great. And she handles it pretty well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's part of the movie or not that she doesn't tell the guy. Or if she came up with that herself.
Yeah.
Because that was an interesting choice as well.
Yeah.
Because it allowed, they didn't get, whether they're good or bad actors, they didn't get much chance to really build a character at all, except she's kind of bossy, they kind of, the girl's bossy, but it's her project and everything. But that is a perfect choice for what she had as a character to try to control the situation, right? She's vomiting, like she is freaking out, but she's just like, everything's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Let's keep moving.
She's literally hyperventilating. He's like, what's wrong?
She's like, I'm just tired and hungry.
Put my pack on.
My hair's caught in my thing. Yeah,
yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is a very good choice to me, whether they wrote it in or if she did it. But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. See, I think it has to get a little boring. I think it has to get a little trying because it's that cyclical nature of, how much fear sets in every time the sun sets. Like, every time it became nighttime, I was like, fuck, no, really? Like, okay.
Not again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I just wanted the sun to rise. I just wanted them to make it to another day, knowing they probably weren't going to survive, but just that, and then it just keeps happening day after day after day. And so I think that kind of, like, almost nothingness, almost, like, just mundane, them walking through the woods again and them losing the map and things like that. Some of their reactions were a bit over the top. I think it could have been tempered down and built a bit more, like crescendoed a bit through the movie. But I think that really helps the payoff at the end.
I agree. You're right. Like, it's not even a criticism. And I just found this time, it's like, wow, this is, this is tough. And I mean, there are goalposts of events that happen, but it's also like watching a theatrical exercise in some ways. Like, you're going to hit this and you're going to come to the same bridge that you were at before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you going to do? And so these kids are semi-amateur actor. I'm going to say semi-professional, semi-amateur. Yeah. I don't know how you get yourself into the mindset that I've walked around and here it is again. Now, what am I going to do this time?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to control your level of freak out so that it's not all the same all the time.
Yeah.
And they make a good effort.
They do.
They really do. Because you'd be like, you'd be starting, your blood sugar's low. They're losing their fucking minds.
Yeah. And trying to, like, maintain, okay, I'm acting in this situation, but I'm really starting to lose it. Like, I haven't showered.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Now, that was a genuine reaction when they found out that they were actually just led in a big circle that whole day, and then they were told that this is where you stop, and they just realized they'd been walking the full fucking day for nothing. Which is kind of cool. I think, like, smart of the directors. I think the directors pulled a lot of, in that kind of, like, closed environment situation, I think they pulled a lot of smart moves to get those performances.
Yeah, it is very interesting, but again, that makes it more of a social, because I'm just then are you acting? Like, it's very, blurry to me.
Yeah.
About, especially when I read, like, oh, they're, you know, they were kind of starving them, and they're kind of, and it's just like, well, then I guess you don't need performers at all. You could have picked any three people who weren't afraid of the camera and see what happens. And that's almost what they said they hired Josh because he knew how to run a camera.
Right.
Like, that's basically a big reason why they hired that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's actually one of the three of them who's gone on to do actually other interesting things, which I find...
I think he's the only one that's really,
I looked,
like,
all three of them up just to see. And they all did get other gigs. Mm-hmm. God love them, because when I saw it, I thought, this is it for you. And they went through this weird 15 minutes of, like, massive fame. And I just thought, they're never booking anything. Not like that. You know what I mean? They didn't look like movies. They looked like totally regular people.
Yeah.
But she booked some other stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did okay. I think it's pretty much dried out now. But I think it got them through about a decade
of
work, which is not bad for this weird little punk rock horror movie.
I think she came out the most recognizable of the three, probably being the only woman. I read an interview with her where she said there was some tough times after that in terms of just being eligible for other parts and, like, trying to get other work because she was the girl from The Blair Witch.
That's right.
Now let's talk about the advertising for this movie, because that was genius. Genius advertising. I remember when it came out, I heard about it and I was desperately trying to look up if this is real or fake. I was like, Google was like barely an idea at this point. I think I was on Bing or like Yahoo or Ask Jeeves or something, trying to be like, are these people real? Trying to find like any information about them, doing my little Nancy Drew like skit. I couldn't find it. Debuted at Sundance, I think it was. Yeah. They had missing posters up of all the actors around, and...
Well, even they were listed as actors as missing/deceased. Come on. And like, what I remember, too, is they put together a completely fake documentary that was like the annals of the witch of the, and they put them in for 2 seconds like they were a side story kind of thing.
God,
it was ridiculous. And it's funny now, we're like, Paranormal Activity, and there's so many things.
And like,
But this was sort of, and I mean, this is also influenced by other things as well.
Oh, sure. Oh, it's not the first time it's been done.
Yeah, but I think it's the first time it's gone that big. They really hit a nerve.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God, did they ever. Yeah. Smart that they used unknown actors, for sure, so that people could fully buy into it as much as they could. Like, when did you get an idea during the movie that this is not real?
Oh, I knew it wasn't real.
You knew it wasn't real.
Yeah. I don't know why, especially because I saw it right at the time.
Yeah.
I think the first couple of times I saw promo, I was like, what? Is this like a thing? Like what? And then I think somebody just said like, oh no, it's a movie.
Sure.
It's just this, it's just meant to be real.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then we watched it and I was like, I'm kind of glad I didn't think this was real, but I think it does open up weird questions like, how did you recover this footage? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, going into that house.
That's probably the biggest question mark in the whole thing was like a year later we recovered this and you're like, well, then you would have seen their bodies, but then maybe not, because then they do talk about the witch like getting rid of those bodies of those men that she made into a thing. So
yeah.
Maybe you think, well, maybe they just found it in an abandoned house and the witch was gone.
But how do they get into the house and not die?
Because she's not there. Like,
oh, maybe.
They sort of leave it real loosey-goosey. Yeah, you know what I mean? That house is now demolished.
Fans of the movie would go and they were starting to like, take pieces of the house as like a souvenir.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been too thrilled about going in there if I was Heather or Michael or whoever, all those, those young people. I'd be like, great. Not because of ghosts, because it looks like it's fucking condemned.
Yeah, the stairs might fall through as they're like collapse. Running up and down, yeah, screaming, exactly. Josh. Yeah. One of the first movies to really engage in internet marketing, the degree that it did.
That and The Matrix, same year.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the internet, take over Y2K.
Exactly.
I just want to talk about that final scene, like that.
Sure.
Yeah, it is the nighttime stuff that is the scariest. Like when they're running and she's just screaming, "What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?" But we don't see anything. The camera doesn't move. And there was
you hear weird things.
You hear weird things. And when you hear the kids playing when they're inside the tent. Oh my God.
But, and then they hear poor old Josh. That's screaming. What they think they hear.
Yeah. So they make it.
Do you think it's real?
I don't think so.
You think he's already dead?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I do.
Because I think the girl is praying and hoping that, because what she left in that bag, even though it's disgusting, you could still be alive. It's like hair and teeth and stuff.
Some blood,
so maybe she's like, she's hysterical and she's like, maybe he's just really badly hurt.
Yeah, you'd want to believe more than anything. Yeah.
And that's why they just run headlong into that house, because they think they can hear him in this house.
Also, nothing to lose at that point. I mean, they know they're not getting out of these woods. Like,
we're gonna die out here.
Yeah.
That was the big line in the trailers. That's what I remember in the trailers, where I was like, I guess we better go see this.
This looks like,
yeah.
So, as you said, if you didn't listen to the beginning, it's a tiny detail at the beginning about how...
The fishermen, right? Or is it earlier? Yeah, one of them said he couldn't see the eyes on them.
So he'd make them face the wall while he killed the other kids. And so Heather is just screaming her fucking head off.
Yeah, Mike hears Josh. He's like, he's in the basement. And he goes running down. She's screaming for some reason.
You see Mike's camera just get knocked.
It's very chaotic. And then it cuts chaotic. To the other camera. It's very chaotic. Yeah, it cuts to her. He's like black and white and she's in color.
Yeah.
He's got like the fancier camera.
Yeah.
And then she's screaming. I guess they see the kids' handprints on the walls too.
God,
and they get
so
freaked
upsetting.
Out.
And then it's just this shot of her just coming down the stairs, and you just see in the corner Mike facing the wall.
And then the camera goes down.
I just got like goosebumps.
Goes to black.
It's so creepy.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's one of the most terrifying shots, I think, in modern movies, at least. It actually, to me, harkens back to classic horror, where you didn't need a special effect, like something like the classic Haunting, where they just show a door and something like the shadow would change and you'd lose your mind.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. It's all in your head.
Yeah. It shows how simple horror can be. It doesn't need to be jump scares. It doesn't need to be all these big flashes. It can be a tiny idea that's planted at the very beginning of the movie that then will haunt your fucking dreams forever.
Can I ask a super dumb question? Because I watched it again now and I still don't get it.
Yeah.
What's the connection? Because they said the person who did that with the kids facing the wall was that guy who killed like seven people.
Yeah.
So what's the connection between him and the witch?
That I'm also a little confused about.
Okay.
It's like, because...
And I even, like, I Wikipedia'd. Couldn't find... They were just told me exactly what I knew.
Because she was banished for witchcraft.
Yeah.
And then, was it after that that all the kids started going missing? Or was it before she was banished?
No, it was after. Because I think she was banished in, like, the 1700s.
Right.
And then there was a big incident in, like, the 1800s.
Right.
The end of the 1800s. And that was something about a little girl vanishing, but then, like, showing up again and talking about a woman whose feet never touched the floor.
It was covered in hair.
Well, that was that brilliant older woman that they talked to.
Yeah.
She saw her. She thinks she saw her. And her description of this woman with the hair all over her body, that probably, when I first saw it, scared me the most out of anything.
Because it's almost like tender, but you could tell she's just... she's like one.
It just seems, but you're just like, this is real. Because you couldn't make this up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though she's kind of, and they sort of make, they're like, oh, she thinks she's a scientist and blah. And she is. She's this town weirdo.
Yeah.
But you're like, something happened to her, obviously, right? Because you can't just make up a story like that. Yeah. It's too weird.
It's so, but no, that connection I was never.
Well, there's, yeah. It's a haunting thing happening, right?
Maybe possession. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
The witch made him do that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe that's the key
to
it. It was like
her minion. Now, are you happy we never saw the Blair Witch? Do you wish we had seen the Blair Witch?
No, I don't think, I don't.
I'm happy we didn't.
I think it's safe or not, especially with such a low budge thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be disappointing.
Yeah. Unless you do something in the very far distance that's just the idea of someone.
I guess. I think the doubt, though,
yeah,
also helps. Are they going crazy? Like, are they going crazy because they're scared and they're lost?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
What is happening? Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I like that slight tinge of doubt until the end where you're like, oh my God, they're all getting murdered. But, and you do start to buy into it. But I feel like they bought into it in the movie before I did. Like, they're like, something's haunting us and something's hunting us at night. And I'm like, are they though? Or are you gonna, like, as I had no idea, I thought maybe they end up murdering each other. Like, mm-hmm. What is this gonna be?
Sure.
You know what
I mean?
That, like,
okay,
what is gonna happen?
Yeah.
And I like that. I think we can't see it. It's just this presence that's like in the air almost.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a conspiracy theory on the internet that it was Mike and Josh that were
like fucking with her.
Yeah. And then just murdered Heather in the end, which I don't buy into.
I don't think that's what they meant.
No. No. I think it's kind of reaching, but...
Because why?
There's not enough backstory to at all make that, like, a valid idea in my head. It's amazing to look at how it's influenced movies coming out of that. Like, how found footage idea has just exploded in the aughts. To a degree that's like, all right.
Yeah, some of them are okay, some of them are not so good.
The first Paranormal Activity fucked me up. And Cloverfield, really loved Cloverfield. That's a cool movie.
This is the rawest, low-budget, weird seed that does look like you could have gone out with your friends and done it, and a lot of people tried to.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. And that's, you know, it's inspiring for young filmmakers to see that, like, you know, maybe someday some studio will see my shitty short film and be like, we're going to buy this for $1 million. You know what I mean? Because that's what happened to them.
Well, you look at movies like this or like Tangerine that was shot on an iPhone. Like, yeah, it's these kind of movies that just hit it big that people like Sean Baker probably see and go, I could do that.
Do you have a preference? They're very hard to compare.
Mm-hmm. Blair Witch.
Okay. Mine is Scream.
Scream, yeah.
It's just more fun.
That's fair, and I hate fun.
Yeah, we all know that. But I do appreciate that a lot, but it's not something I'd just be like popping in. Scare night. You know what I mean?
While I'm vacuuming.
It's like I appreciate it, but it's like, okay.
And never watch Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. Unless.
That was a serious mistake. Oh my God, listen, the actors in Blair Witch 2 made these kids look like Laurence Olivier.
That's very true.
And they were paid far better,
and
I'm sure.
And it was scripted.
And they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, that movie is
it is a garbage fire. There's literally one scary moment in that whole movie, and that's because they've been filming footage of this forest for days. And they see, they're running it backwards, and something goes through it. And I went, because that shit, that's the best advice to me, is stuff you don't see in the camera till you run it a different way or something. It's a very demonic, weird thing. And they went, huh. And I was like, what? And then later an owl flies at the window and a girl loses her shit like it's like Friday the 13th. And I was just like, this movie is a piece of turd.
It's so bad.
We couldn't believe
it.
It's shocking how bad
it is. Really, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It really is. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The people in it are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible people.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're terrible actors. I don't know what they're like as people.
They might be
fine. I'm going to say they're bad people just because I hate the movie so much. Everything. And then I can barely remember it, to be honest, but I remember that detail. For at the end, the couple people who survive, like, walking out of the cottage to, like, the car with this, like, like, it's the end of Degrassi or something.
Oh, my God.
What did I just see?
Yeah, some real, like, Evanescence-esque soundtrack going on.
Terrible.
It's
terrible.
Yeah.
And now there's a TV show. Is that right?
No, it's another movie.
Oh,
I haven't seen it. It sounds better.
Okay. Yeah, I saw when you mentioned it was on Netflix, I found it. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, do I really want to watch
another
this?
Another one.
Are we doing this again?
Do I have to? I think they are doing a TV show, though. I think you're right. I think a TV show has been commissioned.
I think it's weird, these 90s movies. I feel like there's a little resurgence right now because I'm feeling the same thing about Scream.
Yeah. And well, it's like, a TV show now, yeah.
Oh, like every 20 years or so, they're like, we're out of ideas, so let's just do this. Because a few years ago, it was all 80s shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's never the same.
You can't capture
it. And Scream wore itself out, too, because those sequels weren't great either. The second one I thought was so-so, and I don't even think I saw the other ones.
I saw 3. I haven't seen 4.
I might have seen 3. Like, it's gone. Yeah. Because nothing can beat the surprise and the scare. And they were really kids, or they looked like kids. Yeah. And the less kiddie they are, the less scary it is. What does Lillard say? Movies don't make psychopaths. They just give them more creativity.
Yeah.
He says that while his mouth is dripping with blood. I love him so much. He's so good.
He was so good in Scooby-Doo.
You remember how thrilled I was when he showed up on Twin Peaks? Yes. I was like, oh my God. It's Matthew Lillard. Even though he's like a gross old man, I was like, yes!
Yeah. Would still bang.
And he was still crazed. It was awesome. Oh, yeah. I was just like pretty sure he murdered that girl. And he did.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a nice high school principal. And I'm like, you're a murderer. And lo and behold,
he's a psycho.
Totally murdered that woman. Was so good.
So good.
Yeah. I'm always happy to see people like that just get a gig. I'm like, oh, yeah, you nailed it. Because they're still good. Yeah. They're just not cute anymore.
No.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we still need old people in movies and shows and shit. And why shouldn't we? I don't know what Skeet's doing these days. He's looking even creepier. That's why.
Probably playing all the heroin addicts on Law and Order.
And now it's time for...
I didn't know that. Hey, Jerrica, did you know?
I didn't know that. So, in the scene near the end of Scream where Neve Campbell is trying to fight off Skeet, and he's like on the rampage, and they get into this whole thing with a door, and there's a car, and she finally comes out at him with an umbrella and fucking stabs him in the chest with this umbrella. Well, it was a stunt woman in the fight. I guess because it was so, like,
it had
to be very exact where the thing landed.
Right. And he had the mask on, too.
It was just him.
No, Neve had the Ghostface Killer mask on at that point.
Yes, she did. But he had, like, special stuff in place so that when it hit, like, it wouldn't, like, it wasn't obviously to stab, but it was still going to poke, right?
Right.
It missed, and it literally hit on the scar from open heart surgery. And the reaction they got, the agony, is what they used in the film. So that's probably the best acting he does in the entire movie. Because you see, he goes white.
Yeah.
His face goes white. It's because he is in fucking agony.
Oh my God. So, I love when directors do that.
Yeah,
like
God
when Peter
bless
Jackson
him.
Did that in Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God, are you okay? Don't print that.
Yeah, we're gonna lock that down. Yep, we got that. Great. No, you know, Ski, you did great. We're not gonna do that anymore. You're good, buddy.
So there you go.
Wes,
open heart
psycho.
Surgery. Yeah. Woo!
So thank you for joining us for our spooktacular Halloween episode. Now, if you are a longtime listener of the show, thank you. Changing some shit up around here and
setting up some buckets.
Yeah.
Make the place nice enough to bring a guest in. That's going to be a struggle.
Booby trapping the whole thing.
Right.
It's a whole mess in here.
But yeah, we're going to have more segments, more guests. The first guests, really. We've never really had a guest.
Yeah, we're very excited. Our next month's episode, we've got a special guest coming in. And we are looking very forward to chatting with them.
And with a very special topic that doesn't much get touched. Really looking forward to that.
It's something that we've been talking about doing since we started season 2.
For like a year. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Jerrica.
And until next time, happy Halloweener. Stay safe. The more the story.